Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21 today. And I guess you could say that this was a three-part series. We started with the end of the world. What does it mean? The second one last week is the righteous inheritance. And today, what's going to happen to the wicked? Okay? As far as this world is concerned. This is just Bible teaching. Maybe you say, well, maybe this doesn't apply to me. But we need to know what the Word of God says, okay? So the wicked, according to the Word of God, the wicked are going to be removed from the world, the earth, the land, wherever. There's coming a day when the purity of the kingdom of God is going to reign over all the earth, and all wickedness and darkness is going to be removed from it. Isn't that going to be a nice place to live? What?
They're going to be raptured.
Yeah, that's a joke, Larry. Amen. So Revelation 21. Let's see what the Word of God says. Okay? Now, I'd love to read this whole chapter, but if I do, we're going to be here for days. Let's start in verse 7. First of all, he that overcometh. This is for the overcomer. See, this whole thing, well, I got to go back to verse 1. It says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. This is New Jerusalem. You see, New Jerusalem compared to Old Jerusalem. What's the difference? What's Old Jerusalem? It has a physical location. It's made out of physical material. It's made out of stone and mortar and brick and this type of thing. New Jerusalem isn't made out of that. New Jerusalem is a heavenly place. New Jerusalem is a spiritual realm. Amen? And we can be a part of that New Jerusalem. That's us, where we belong. We've talked about that for several weeks now. Amen? And he says, new heaven and new earth. New heaven and new earth. That's verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, when that says heaven, earth, and sea, again, we are not talking about natural things. When it says new heaven, it means a new spiritual realm. Amen? Larry was praying this morning about the spiritual realm of our government, the spiritual things that are going on there. It's a pretty dark place, isn't it? A pretty swampy place. Amen? And a new earth, a carnal realm as well. But there would be no sea. What? You mean we can get along without water? No, that's not what that means. The sea means the unredeemed realms of unsaved humanity. There's not going to be any of that. Amen? So there's your first clue right there, that uncleanness, wickedness, is going to be completely, totally removed from this world. This new heaven and new earth will not have a sea of unredeemed people. Amen? Now, we're talking about the tabernacle of God is with men. That's in the third verse. You see, again, we're not talking about a natural physical tabernacle. We're not talking about a temple. We're not talking about a house, as we think of a house, a shelter made of material that, you know, that protects you from the wind and the rain. That's not what we're talking about. Even a tent. No, we're not talking about that. Amen. It's God is going to dwell with men. Now, if God is going to dwell here, unrighteousness is not going to dwell here, because God will not have it where he is. Maybe that's why he separated his throne, so to speak, from the things of this earth, so that we have to come apart from this lowly place into a higher place to come into the realm of where God is. Okay, now, he's talking about wiping all tears away from our eyes. Isn't that going to be a good thing? Amen? No more sorrow, no more crying, no more tension, no more nervousness, no more betrayal, no more, oh my goodness, add to it. All the horrible things that happened to you and have happened to you in this life. It's not going to happen anymore. People aren't going to do that to each other. Amen? People that you trust, people that make vows, they're not going to break them anymore. Amen? So, let me go down now. I'm going to move right on down to verse 4, or verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Now, this is the real meaning of sonship. But he that overcometh, he that overcometh what?
Carnal nature.
He that overcometh. You go to chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. He that overcometh will I give this. He that overcometh will I give the crown. He that overcometh, give the white stone. He that overcometh, the hidden manna. What else? He that overcometh, sit with me in my throne. Okay? And when we get to the end of Revelation, here we are almost to the end of Revelation, he's talking about the overcomer again. You know, there's people who don't like to hear that term. Did you know that? Really? Really? I am so surprised to understand that there are people that don't like to hear that term, overcomer. And I don't know why. I think it's because they have a doctrine that says, well, man, we cannot overcome. We're human. We're born wicked. We're going to be doing wicked things. We're going to keep on doing them until we die, and we can't do it. So you're giving me condemnation to use that term, overcomer, because it can't be done. No, it can be done because the Word of God says it can be done. It says, he that overcometh. Amen? That means you're going to have to rise up and do something about it. Amen? He that overcometh, I think it's he that overcometh all things, he says, shall inherit all things. Amen? This is part of last week. This is the inheritance of the righteous. Inherit all things. Amen? And I will be his God, and he will be my son. What better word can you get from the Lord? I will be your God. You know, the funny thing about God being your God, and this is where a lot of people are going to miss it, is because you have to obey your God. Do you know this is why, I believe that this is why these scientists have invented this theory of evolution and will not believe in the first couple of chapters of Genesis? And this is why these new Bibles that are coming out are written and interpreted by people who do not believe that. No, they are doubters. They say, well, it's a myth. It's just a fairy tale. It has a meaning, but you know, it's meant to say something, but it didn't really happen, you know. No. Because if you acknowledge that he is the Creator God, that it didn't just happen from a big bang where, you know, this is so ridiculous. Everything started off in, the whole universe started off in something about the size of a thimble. Does anybody know what a thimble is anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're old people. We know what thimbles are.
Or the pieces in Monopoly.
Yeah, a piece in a Monopoly game.
That's right.
Well, women wore these thimbles to protect their finger when they were sewing, because pushing that needle in, even on the back side of the needle, it was still pretty rough on those tender fingers. So they would say it all started in a little thimble-sized thing, and it blew up and it went bang and everything. No, oh, come on. You know, your faith in that is about a gazillion to one. You have greater faith in something that couldn't happen than in a God that could create it. And the problem is, if they acknowledge that God is a creator, then they're going to have to acknowledge he's greater than me and I have to obey him. And that's the part that they don't want to do. They want to live in their sins.
Had that guy this week that passed away, that Stephen Hawking, they thought he was great because of his
yeah,
and all that, and he didn't. He thought this was all fairy tale.
He's supposed to be the smartest man alive.
Yeah, and he couldn't look out there and see that this was put together. It just didn't
pull. And he couldn't believe in God.
It's like you take a bottle of ink and a pile of paper, throw it in a warehouse, and encyclopedias come out the other end. You know, magic, you know, it doesn't work.
Yeah, amen. Great, John. Good idea. Amen. All right, now here's where we're coming. Verse 8. Now we're starting. We're starting with today's message. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I want to make a list of these things that are not going to be in the kingdom of God. I'm going to write them up, and would somebody read them off to me in the order that I read them? Would you do that, Rita? But let's get our list started here. Okay, what's the first one?
Fearful.
Did you know that God didn't like the fearful? He said, I'm just human. I'm afraid. No, he doesn't like the fearful. Okay, what else?
Unbelieving.
Well, go ahead, Larry.
We are called to be strong and courageous.
Be thou courageous. Fear thou not. Now, when the Lord said to Joshua, fear thou not and be courageous, he didn't ask Joshua what he wanted to do. He said, this is the way I'm telling you. You're going to be courageous. You're going to be fearless. And you're going to go after your enemy. I don't care what you feel like. This is what I'm telling you. This is my command to you. Amen? Okay, fearful. What else?
The margin says cowardly.
Cowardly, yeah.
And the next one is unbelieving.
Unbelieving. And go on, Rita.
The abominable.
Abominable. Oh, can anybody define that word?
A bee.
He is a
boy.
I did my bee the wrong way. Abominable. Okay, come on. Tell me what abominable is.
Abominations. This says
sorcerers. Well, it isn't just... Sorcerers are included in this.
So that like has an unclean type of a perverted slant to it.
Okay, I'll give you the definition. All right, it is something that is. What did you say?
Detestable.
Amen. Detestable. You hit it right in the nail right on the head. Something that is absolutely horrible, detestable, vile, filthy. All right, so. We're going to see this word again today. I hope we get there. Abominable. All right. That's Matthew chapter 24. Abomination of desolation. Abominable is in what the Lord is talking about in Matthew 24 is something that is so detestable that it's going to bring about a desolation, a destruction.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
That was an abomination that brought about a desolation. Yes, it was. Okay. All right. Let's go on with the list.
Murderers.
Murderers. You know what murderers are. By the way, talking about gun violence, do you know that there is more gun violence murders in cities like Chicago? Far more than you're ever having in any schools, and they're not doing anything about it. They apparently want to reduce the population of abominable people or something. Just let them kill one another off. Do you know what... I don't even want to say it. What the Attorney General of, I think it was Florida, said about the gun violence. This is before the school thing happened. And she said they're not in Miami. Maybe it was Miami. Anyway, she said it's just X killing off X. And we don't care.
Well, that's what war is all about.
Yeah.
That's why Hillary, she became president, we were going to have a world war with Russia to eliminate a lot of the population.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the murderers, we know what murder is. Go ahead, Rita.
Whoremongers.
W-H-O-R-E. Mongers. Now, whoremongers, It's all sexual immorality. It isn't just men chasing women, women chasing men in institutions of prostitution. No, it's the whole thing. Okay, Rita, go on.
Sorcerers.
Now, there's an interesting word. Oh boy, this is going to take two Sundays. There's an interesting word in Revelation chapter. It says, "And they repented not of their." No, it's not in Hebrew. Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's in Revelation 9. We're talking about the plagues of the sixth trumpet. Okay, it says, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication. So we have these three here, murder, whoremongering, and sorcery, listed right here. Now, what are these three? What is the key of these three? By the way, the word sorcery in that verse that I just read in Revelation 9, the Greek word for that, you wouldn't believe what it is. Pharmakia. Guess what that is? That's the use of drugs. Now, whether they used it to create their sorcery is beside the point. Yes, they did use drugs to get into their state of where they were seeing and hearing spirits and all this. But these are the three right here that are the main thing that is destroying the world, the cities, this type of thing. Drugs, sex, and drugs. In order to get drugs, you steal. Thefts were included in the one in chapter 9. And to wipe out your competition, you have to murder. This is what's going on. It's common. The prisons are full of these people today.
Wait, listen to that stuff that's supposed to be in Friday's History Channel. Ancient aliens, these Greeks were supposed to go on into temples, got some lit with some magic smoke. They had all kinds of revelations supposed to be enlightening and light. And this just falls right back on it again.
And the other one, Rita, was what?
Idolaters.
And idolaters is idol worship. And what kind of idols do we have today?
Money, cars, movie stars.
Open up a magazine in a waiting room office, doctor's office, barber's office, whatever, and you flip it open and it says Hollywood's new idol. And guess who the idol is? It's a person. And I was shocked. We went to get our hair cut, by the way. I got mine cut anyway. And yeah, both sides of my head I got cut. open up a magazine and it said something about the gods. These are the gods. And I opened it up and there was Hollywood stars there. The new gods. They're shamelessly admitting their idolatry and their worship of these things as gods. Football stars, basketball stars, baseball stars, idols, rock stars, idols, gods.
But it can go beyond that.
Yeah.
It can be 401k. Your government handouts. Anything that you set up above God.
Mm-hmm.
Even ourselves can be idols.
Yes.
We have to have everything our way and always be doing what we want and with selfishness and always me.
Anything that you spend your time and effort on worshiping instead of God.
Now, this was this has an interesting phrase in here called the second death. It says that these people are going to be partakers of the second death. Now,
all liars.
Oh, liars. That's what. That's yeah, liars.
All liars.
Liars. L I A R S. Is that spelled P O L I T I C I A N? How do you know when a politician is lying? When his lips are moving. And they got a politician that said things, and he's trying to do the things that he said. He's not wanting to be a liar, and they want to kill him because he doesn't belong. All right, so let's look at this this second death. What is the second death? What is the first death? First death is a death that has been almost 100% of humanity. I'd say almost 100%. Enoch and Elijah are the only two that escaped from that I know of. Even Jesus Christ had to go through it. So the first death is the natural death. The body comes to where it's going to turn back to dust. Okay, that's the first death. Now, let me go over here into chapter 20. And it says here, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Okay? What is the resurrection? The first resurrection is from the first death. Okay? And that is, you will come again, you will come back to life, amen, and you will rule and reign and live with Christ, whatever, according to how you've lived. Amen. So, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right, so first death, if you have the first resurrection, the second death isn't going to take you. But if you're not part of the first resurrection, the first death will happen, will be a natural death, and then there's a second death that's going to come. Okay? It says, on such the second death hath no power. I'm in verse 6. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned. Of chapter 20.
20.
Yeah.
We're in
21. Well, I said go back to chapter 20. All right, now, while you're in chapter 20, go down also to verse
14.
I want to start before that. Let's start in verse 11. This is the great white throne judgment, okay? And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled. What earth and what heaven would that be? It'd be the old earth and the old heaven. The old spiritual realm fled. Can you imagine? I mean, the face of God being manifest here in this earth. It would be like opening a door and putting the light on a room full of cockroaches. Have you ever watched cockroaches run when the light comes on? You say you don't have them in your house. Well, God bless you. We went looking at some hotel rooms in the Philippines, and the guy is showing us this beautiful room. Cockroach goes running across the floor as soon as he opens the door. Well, I mean, so we're complaining about our room that had some things in it. We go to look at another room, and zip, cockroach runs across. I mean, I had to feel sorry for the poor guy that was showing the room. Anyway, this is what happens to darkness when the face of God shows up. The roaches run. Amen? He says, and I saw the dead, small and great stand before God. Okay, this is those who had participated in the first death. Every one of us, dead. Death. Okay? And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So what you have here is you have two things. You have books on the one hand, and book. Do you see the difference? Book of life, books, plural. A list of things, piles of documents. Okay? It says, and the book of life was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Dead were judged according to books, according to their works. Okay? Now, the dead gave up, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. I think it's the same sea, the sea of humanity. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Death and hell. What is hell? What's this word hell? It's Hades. It's the place, it was once the place where everyone who went, who had died. Lazarus went there, Abraham went there, the rich man went there. But there was a divide in Hades. Now, that's been eliminated. The Abraham bosom comfort part of that, that's been removed and taken to paradise. The Lord took it when he was crucified. Amen. So now, when death and hell are brought up, it's only those who were unrighteous. Okay? Delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So you see, the unrighteous, amen, are judged according to their works. If you have an unrighteous man who is extremely evil in his wicked works, he's going to get a greater punishment, greater suffering. If you're an unrighteous man who has tried to be good, but you wouldn't accept Jesus, well, okay, you're still going to go to hell, but it isn't going to be quite so bad. You won't suffer from... Well, I don't know. What is the suffering of hell? I think some of it is going to be the memories of what you've done and the horrors of what you've created. Can you imagine some of these mass killers? Can you imagine these Stalins and these Hitlers? And bloodthirsty men like that, Idi Amin, and people like that. Can you imagine the torment of hell that they're going to go through? Amen. And it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So there's your definition of the second death. So it says, if your name is in the book of life, amen, you're not going to be judged according to that. Either your name is in or your name is not in. So you're not going... It doesn't say talk of a judgment to those whose name is in the book. Now there is, but not this judgment. Okay? Not this judgment.
The judgment seat of Christ.
The judgment seat of Christ is different. Yes, you will be rewarded according to your works also. But not judged according to your works. In other words, the term judged refers to judgment. By the way, how did your talk on judgment go the other day?
Good. Nobody said anything about the number 9 or 10. So
nobody knew anything about it but you. Amen. All right, let's go on. I want to go back to chapter 21 again, and I want to go down to verse 27. Okay, it says, and there, okay, let's go back to 25. We're talking about the temple, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, okay? And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. So if there's no night, it's going to be open all the time. Amen? And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither that whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, again, this is working abomination. All right, there's the same word that we saw in verse 8, abominable, making abomination, creating abomination, making a lie. There's your liars again, and but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So there's the book again. If you're in the book, you're in. If you're not in the book, you're not going to be in. Okay, let me go over now to verse 15. And I want to read this list again. And if there's anything more, we can add that up, Sister Rita. Let me start in verse 14, just so that we can come into this a little bit. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and that they may have the right to the tree of life. Now, what happened to the tree of life? Where was the last time we saw the tree of life? It was in the Garden of Eden. It was in Genesis. And there were two trees, two unusual trees. There were many trees that produced fruit, but there were two unusual trees. One of them was the tree of life, and the other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know that God gave specific instructions about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know that he said anything in Genesis about the tree of life or warned them about it in any way. He just said, I don't want you going and eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, if you're innocent, you don't know anything about good and evil, okay? A little baby is born innocent, right? Babies don't know what's good, they don't know what's evil, but they have a nature in them that they're soon going to find out what's good and what's evil because they were born with what they inherited from Adam and Eve, which we all inherited. All right. So Eve took the fruit, she ate it, she gave it to Adam, he took it, he ate it. Now God drove them out of the garden, and he put an angel there, a seraphim, I should say. I shouldn't say angel. I don't know. Are seraphim different than angels? I think they're angels because they have wings. And in fact, that's what was embroidered on the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. In other words, there were seraphim there, and in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, it said, and the seraphims, I think it's plural, I think it's a plural word. I looked it up the other day, I'm pretty sure it's plural, seraphims. And they had a flaming sword, it said, which turned every way. Now, it doesn't say it turned four ways. But I'm going to go ahead and take the liberty of saying it turned four ways, because whenever it talks about all the ways, it talks about the four ways, the four winds, you know, northeast, southwest. So what is the number four speak of? Trying, testing, tribulation, and the flaming sword also speaks of fire. So in other words, The seraphim were putting up tribulation and flaming fire of testing to keep the way to the tree of life. Now, God is not saying that you will not get a chance to partake of the tree of life. What he's saying is that you're going to have to pay for it now. All right, you had it free before you knew anything about good and evil. But now that you have tasted evil and rebellion and that type of thing, now you're going to have to come through the fire, you're going to have to come through the testing in order to partake of the tree of life. So he says here, that they blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Now you have the right to the tree of life, and where is the tree of life located? It's located in paradise, which means that God is going to give us the chance to come back into paradise. Paradise is going to be a completely different life than you have been living since the day you were born. Amen. It's not going to be like that anymore. Amen. And I'm thinking, we wake up this morning and the temperature was 2 degrees, and I'm thinking, oh my, we are so far from paradise. Where is it? Nothing can grow. Nothing can live in these conditions. When is this winter going to end? Amen? Paradise. And they may enter in through the gates into the city. So the gates are open into the city. Now, for without, on the outside, are what?
Dogs,
sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. So the lie has been expanded here, not just the ones who make the lie, but the ones who love the lies. If you love not telling the truth, if you love hearing fake truth. Is there such a thing as fake truth?
Fake news.
If you love those lies and you don't really want to know what the truth is, don't bother me. Don't tell me. No. I don't want to know. You don't belong in this place. Now, there's one other thing that's added to this. Can I put it up here at the top?
Yeah, dogs.
Now, does this mean your poodle and your golden lab and whatever? No, that's not what that means. Okay, doesn't mean they're going to be there, but that isn't what that word means. Anyway, it means unclean, and in particular, if we take the Hebrew understanding of what a dog was, it is sexual uncleanness, particularly of the type that they're making such an effort to make acceptable today, shall we say. And I'm going to give you more examples of that as we go along. I want to take a couple other verses, and are we going to get there? Yeah, we're going to get there. I want to go to chapter 22, verse 15, okay? Let me go to Isaiah. I just want to read a few other verses because I really want to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, let me come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 now. I want to make sure we get through that. There's another list here. There's another list, and it's a little bit different than the one we have here. We're talking about the wicked being removed. Let's go to verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? All right. Now, I'm going to make another list over here. This isn't going to be quite as long a list. Unrighteous. Unrighteous. What does unrighteous mean?
Not right.
Lacking righteousness. Not being right with God. Isn't that what righteous is? Righteous means right with God. Unrighteous means you're not right with God. Okay? It's quite simple. It doesn't say a whole lot. Just that's it. You're not righteous. You're not there. Shall not inherit. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. I'm going to make another list here now. Fornicators. By the way, this is still listed as a sin in the Bible. the world is scratching that one out and said, no. Adultery, maybe. You shouldn't commit adultery because it hurts people. But no problem. In fact, the schools and those who run these systems are making a big deal of trying to teach children how to carry this out. What they say is safe fornication, but what they really mean, they're teaching kids to fornicate. It's what it's all about. Yeah. And they're saying it's not a sin. Okay? This is old. This has been believed for a long time. Okay? That's not a new one. What did I hear that under Trump now that there are some that are trying to come back with abstinence? Where did I read that? That they're trying to teach the young people, just stay away from it. Anyway, okay, I'm back to verse 9. Neither, nor fornicating, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Oh, adulterers are included here. So fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. Did I spell that right? A-D-U-L-T-E-R? Yes, I think I did. Yeah, adulterers. Oh, another E-R. Another E-R is included. Ter-ers. Okay. Adulterers, that includes adulteresses, by the way. It's not it doesn't just mean one or the other. Adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now this is very interesting. Effeminate. I'll read the other one here. Abusers, I'll just, with mankind. Now, this word effeminate is a very strange word. I'm not sure how it got. I think it's the best interpretation from the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I looked it up, read all the definitions. I believe it is the best word. You see, in the day that this was translated, whatever this Greek word meant, we did not have phrases in those days like cross-dressers. What's that other term that they're doing now? Transgenders. There was no such words in those days. There was no such understanding. But apparently there was an understanding of what an effeminate... Now, an effeminate is basically talking about men, but it includes those who like the soft life, the fluffy life. But it also has a sexual connotation as well. It includes those who should be masculine, who are going the other way.
Soft.
And as I said, it's not just a natural desire for a different kind of clothes. It has something to do with the soul, the desires, the orientation. Okay? There's another term that didn't exist in the time these Bibles were written, sexual orientation. No such understanding. You're born, this is the way you're born, this is the way you are. Now this other term here, abusers of themselves with mankind, that is a very, very clear, definite description of sodomites. Very clear. You look up both words, look them both up in the Bible, in the Strong's Concordance, in the Greek definitions. They both go together. It is very, very clear. Okay, I don't have to go any clearer. You can look it up. It is. There's no question in my mind of what this is talking about. Okay. Now that's all that for years and years the world didn't have a problem with that definition, but they do today. Today they're writing the new rules. See, well, God must have changed his mind. He's real open-minded today. No, he's not. He meant the same thing. And by the way, if you go into the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, it's very clear again. Man shall not lie with mankind, it might say, as with womankind, it is an abomination. Abomination, abominable, whatever. This is an abomination. Before God, in the eyes of God, it is. Okay?
All that stuff, now it's all hate speech.
Yeah, well, everything that refers to the Bible is hate speech.
Yeah.
The name, as Brother Larry was pointing out this morning, the girl that came home from school said, we can't say the name Jesus. It's hate speech. We can say Buddha and Hindu and all that, but we can't say Jesus because that's hate speech. So the truth, okay, there's more on this list though. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, thieves. That's got to be here somewhere. Thieves, covetous. Now, oh, wait a minute. Covetous? Where'd that come from? I thought we could be a preacher or evangelist or something and covet money and covet jets and covet big mansions and this type of thing. In fact, aren't we taught that we're supposed to desire mansions and that type of thing? Is that what coveting is? Desiring to have something that you don't have? I mean, what is this whole prosperity message all about? You give me $1,000 and you'll get $10,000. Isn't it stirring up covetousness in people? Yeah, it's training people to covet. Covetousness. What else have we got here on the list?
Drunkards.
Oh my goodness! I gotta start a new list. Drunkards.
It's appropriate we got that today after the big party yesterday, right?
Oh, Saint Drunkard's Day.
Yeah. He's drunk, right?
Saint Drunkard's Day. Yeah. I mean, why do they assume that the Irish are all drunkards? I mean, why do the cops all go out and do extra patrols on Saint Patrick's Day? Yeah, I wonder too. Anyway, it isn't just the Irish. Come on, the Germans can drink just as much. Any excuse, any nation, any race, they all love the alcohol.
Where they came from, Mark, they always have these little leprechaun things running around their forest.
Yeah,
they've always seen those little things.
Revilers. Revilers. Who else?
Extortioners.
What is an extortioner, Larry? Does it have anything to do with money?
Someone who takes money or steals money from other people.
Well, how do they steal? They come in and burglarize or what?
They do underhanded things.
Well, give me an example. How would somebody go about extorting money?
Well, misrepresenting documents, forging things, you know, and anything that's that's deceitful.
Suppose I knew
raising money for a cause and then they don't use it for the cause.
Suppose I knew that you pulled some crooked deals and I come to you and I say, look, I'll shut up if you pay me off here. Would that be extortion?
Yeah.
Blackmail.
That's blackmail too, but that's part of extortion, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm getting something out of you that doesn't belong to me. In other words, it's not just coming in and bashing somebody's head with a club and or breaking into his house. It's getting it out of him because you're deceiving him. You're working on his guilty conscience or something like that to get money out of him.
That's what Stormy's doing.
Yeah, she's trying to extort. Well, she already extorted money to begin with. Now she wants more, doesn't she? Yes, it is terrible. Come on, listen. Everybody's got some sins in your past. If they come against you and find all the goods on everything you've ever done, they'll try to extort from you.
Anybody who's got $1 million or more is a big target.
Yeah, this woman that won the big lottery, she got the judge to agree that nobody needs to know who she is. She's probably the only lottery winner that's ever going to live in peace. She knows what's going to happen. They'll extort it from her. All right, extortioners, what else here, Rita? That's it. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. My goodness, look at that list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 20. 20 is a good list. And there's more. I mean, some of these imply other things. All right, I've got time. Let me go on into Isaiah now. See, what we're doing is we're actually preaching the word as we go through this. You know, because we need to look at everything that God is saying. Isaiah 1:28. It says, all right, let me start with verse 26, just so that we can come into it and see where he's talking. He says, "And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city." So there's righteousness as compared to unrighteousness. All right, "Zion shall be redeemed with judgment," or with justice, that is. I think that's what that means. Amen. "And her converts with righteousness." Amen. "And her converts," her returners, "and destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed." Amen. They shall be consumed. Let's go to Psalms. Back to Psalms 101. Back to the book of Psalms. See, we're just giving other witness to the same things that we read in Revelation and in Corinthians. Psalms 101. By the way, Paul was not politically correct, was he?
No.
My goodness, he laid it right out straight. No wonder they tried to whip him and beat him all the time. I guess that's what's going to happen if you're politically incorrect in your preaching. Verses 7 and 8. Let's start with verse 6. "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord." He's talking about Zion, the New Jerusalem. So we got a new one here, deceit, right? Deceivers? Let's add that to the list. Now, a deceiver can deceive and extort and probably never even bother to tell a lie while he's doing it. But he's deceiving. So it's basically lying. While we're in Psalms, did I go to 55? Let's go to 55. 55, verse 23. "But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." Bloody means bloodthirsty. And bloody, yes, murderous. Okay? Come to Job. Brother Job. Job is just before Psalms. Job 21. Job 21, verse 17. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? How oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. That's verse 17. Go down to verse 30 now. It says that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth in the day of wrath. Job, listen, Job was before Moses. The people of the land after Noah, they had this understanding. They knew, they had a knowing of what was coming at the end. Amen. Job 31, while we're in Job. Job 31, verse 3. Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? What is that word, strange? Strange means disaster. Okay. Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to get through here. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. I might as well add that word iniquity here too. What does iniquity mean? Iniquity is lawless. It means doing your own thing, basically. Doing what you want. And it isn't necessarily murdering and stealing and this type of thing. It's simply doing what I want. Why, I didn't do anything wrong. No, but you did what you wanted. You didn't do what God wanted you to do. That's iniquity. Amen? Amen. The righteous shall never be removed. Verse 30. But the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Amen. The wicked shall not inhabit the earth. And that is the land. They will not inhabit. All right, one more verse in Proverbs. Oh, no, two more verses. Proverbs 21, verse 15. It is joy to the just to do judgment or justice. Amen. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. There it is again. And finally, Brother Joel. Go to the book of Joel, which is just after Hosea. And I went to Jonah and I went too far. Joel, chapter 3. And we'll come down to verse 19. We're coming to the very end of the book of Joel. Let me read the last few verses here. All right, just to summarize up all of Joel. Well, let me start in verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withhold their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Amen. What's Jerusalem? Jerusalem's the people of God. The voice of God is going to come out from among the gathering of God's people. Amen. From Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. How many are looking forward to a shaking of the earth? It's going to shake. Come on, it's already shaking. The heavens are already shaking, but it's going to shake more. Amen. But the Lord will be the hope of his people. See, there's good news here. The Lord will be the hope and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. See, when we read in Revelation that he is going to tabernacle with his people, this is what it means. Joel sees the same thing, that he is going to dwell in his holy mountain. This is the whole picture of the tabernacle. This is the whole picture of going into the holy place and then on into the Holy of Holies, because that was the dwelling place of God in the days of Moses. That's where the overshadowing presence, that was where he dwelt between the cherubims on the mercy seat. Amen? And it was an awesome place. I mean, you did not enter into there without preparation. Only the high priest, you know. It was such an exclusive place. But he's saying it's going to be open now to all people. Amen? The Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain, then shall Jerusalem be holy. Amen. He said, my people will be holy. I guess God's people are half holy and half unholy. But he's saying that we're going to be 100%. What is 100%? It means we're going to come to perfection. Amen? And there shall be no more strangers pass through her anymore. What are strangers? Aliens. Spiritual aliens. Not people from another country. There's righteous people there too. Amen? And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine. What does new wine mean? It means joy and gladness, doesn't it? And the hills shall flow with milk. That means nourishment and sustenance. Amen. And all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water. That's the spirit of life. Amen. The word. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. The valley of Shittim. And that is acacias. Okay? Valley of acacias. Okay. Egypt, now here's the other side. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. What does this mean? Doesn't necessarily mean the natural place of Egypt. It means the place where Satan rules and sin abounds. Amen? That place will not be. It'll be destroyed. Wherever it is. Whether it's on the Sinai Peninsula or wherever. It's going to be destroyed. Amen? Shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah. Why? Because they have been violent against God's people. They have hated God's people. They have sent the name of God out of their schools, out of their government, out of their courthouses. Amen? They have hated, they've been violent in their hatred against us. Because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Amen? But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.